of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We welcome our guests and visitors who are with us this morning. We are in the reading of the Gospel according to St. Luke, and we have this little snatch from his catechesis. Shortly after he calls the disciples to follow him, then he begins to teach them. And of course, this is the teaching to the apostles, but then it's also to the teaching of all of us who would hear the apostolic message. And this is a message about loving your enemies. I think they probably realized or asked themselves, what are we in for here? If you think about it, what the Lord Jesus was talking about was so different. It was so radical. In fact, it took a basic premise that was present in society in the way that people think, that revenge is normal. In fact, you see a lot of that in the Old Testament, and that was part of the Jewish understanding of just simply how things worked, that you took vengeance, you know, the eye for the eye, the tooth for the tooth. This notion of loving your enemy, the person that offended you, extending the olive branch to them, must have seemed very, very radical. And they probably shook their heads and wondered, what are we getting ourselves into here? In fact, it seems almost irrational. And so I think that's why most of us don't do it. It's absurd. Why, you know, would we ever consider doing anything like our enemies? And yet, this lofty and challenging dictate from the Lord is one of the key basis stones of his teaching. Because this is what elevates us and takes us out of the realm and beyond the realm of religion. You know, and common and natural religion, which knew of the love of neighbor, which you find in Judaism, you find it in Islam, you find it in all the major religions. Now, this notion of the love of the enemy, this takes us further. This breaks new ground. So what is he talking about here? You know, I find it interesting to kind of group the people in our lives into three groups. First, there are those who love us, those who are in the inner circle. You can probably figure out who those people are. And maybe in your house or your dormitory or you know, somebody that, you know, the people, the fellowship, the people that are close to you, with whom you have communication, you know them and they know you. To love these people, as the Lord said, this is what is possible and fairly easy for all of us. Although, dare I say, it's very easy for the one in this circle to become an enemy as well. How many spouses, for example, start out as the closest to the most beloved of people in our circle? And if you wait long enough, and if you do enough wrong things, and if you don't follow what the Lord says, then that person becomes an enemy. And there's probably no worse enemy than the ex-spouse, whose existence now, which was at one point a person of love, a person in this inner circle, now we identify in a very different way. And maybe they have changed, but maybe it's we who have changed as well. And part of what we're challenged to and called to in hearing this story and this teaching of the gospel is to examine ourselves. And who is moving in and out of these circles? You know, the people that are closest to us. You know, the next group are the people that we just bump into. You know, maybe in your class or in your work or whatever. You come, you go, you see them, you maybe wave or whatever, but that's it. But there is no real relationship with those people. But the third group, then, are the enemies. And the enemies, again, are people who are more easily identified. We usually know who our enemies are. In fact, they're really not our enemies until we've labeled them with that term. Now, a person out there is not my enemy until I recognize the fact that he's enemy, he's trying to get me. And so we can figure out ways to defend ourselves. We can figure out ways to fight back or attack again. And what the Lord Jesus says to us is to love our enemies. So let us examine ourselves just briefly and think for yourself about where the people in your life fit in these circles. You know, if your day got off on the wrong foot today, maybe somebody moved out of that that intimate circle and got pushed off into the periphery somewhere. You just don't want to deal with them. Or worse, if they really hurt you, then maybe you've held feelings that are appropriate for an enemy. Maybe you've tried to hurt them or wound them with your words or with your anger, or actually done things to sabotage them. Do you ever do that in work? Did you ever confess doing it? You know, that person that you work with that somehow you sabotage to is a question of somebody's going to get a promotion. Well, let's make sure this guy doesn't get it so I got a chance to get it. You're treating that person like an enemy. That's what Christ says, love your enemy. Don't do that. Treat them differently. In fact, what they teach us in the management training and seminars and these days is that teamwork is really what it's all about. When you encourage your team member in your workplace, when they are, when you're part of a team, when you see them doing well, that's actually in the long run going to be beneficial to you. Instead, whenever we tear our co-workers down, treating them as enemies, making them look bad to the boss or to customers or to others, we're really assassinating ourselves in the process. We don't realize the harm that we're doing. In fact, every time that we treat an enemy as an enemy, we're shooting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. Because what we're doing is allowing a feeling, a thought, that comes through our mind and consciousness. I don't like this guy, or I want to get back at them. We're giving it a place in our conscience and a place in our soul, a place where it can reside. And then if you start doing stuff like acting on it, if you start fighting back, if you start using angry words, if you start isolating a person, treating them like a, you know, like a no good person, then all of those things are things that create this gap and create true enemies within our minds and in our hearts and souls. Christ calls us to love not only the people in the inner circle, not only the people in the broader circle that we just bump into, but also to the enemies. And this is not an easy thing. One of the things that may help in trying to understand how might it be possible to do this, and oh, by the way, don't expect to be able to love your enemy tomorrow. It is going to take a long time to uproot the weeds of the anger that lie in your soul toward people, especially those who have hurt you or wounded you. If you have been abused as a child and you bear something like that in your soul, that person, you've come to identify them as an enemy. You hate them. Maybe you've distanced them yourself from them. But that's how, you know, those wounds, that's the way we react as human beings. And yet, what Christ comes to us and says, love your enemy, why? So that you can be healed. So that you don't have to be, you know, burdened by what they did to you. So that you can be set free. This is the hope then of the gospel. That we don't have to let what other people have done to us kill us. In fact, this was the glory of the martyrs. That even the people that were, you know, martyring St. Stephen and all these people, they're doing harsh and violent things against them, and they're pouring forth God's mercy and forgiveness to their enemy. They weren't letting their enemy kill them in their soul. You see, this is what these enemies are doing to us if we let them in. And the enemy is not the person, the enemy is the evil one, where we accept the way of thinking and identifying them as enemies. You know, those of you, the students that were at the retreat yesterday, that was talking about beauty, and Father John Moses went in his talk, he was giving a PowerPoint presentation. He was going through and showing beautiful things and not so beautiful things, but But then he showed a picture of Osama bin Laden. Is it possible to see that maybe this man, who we so readily identify as enemy, maybe in some way the glory of God shone forth in his creation somehow in Christ? And that maybe his was a repentance at some point before he died, which we pray. We don't know. But the thing is, we cannot allow what others do to us. You know, and this is what happens. This is what's happened to this country. Is that we become a shelled-in people who are all afraid of what they're going to do to us. And there is, where in this is then a breakdown in the inner freedom of us individually as human beings. Now, the whole issue of war and all of those kinds of things is another one which I cannot speak to at this point, but suffice it to say that this is an internal process. So how do we learn? How do we begin to change our attitude toward others? You know, sometimes time heals. Sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just allows the wounds to fester. But sometimes time heals. It gives us a bit of distance between what a person may have done in offense of us, or we of them, and created the enmity ourselves. And so maybe it's time for you to look at your enemy a different way. Several things the Lord says. He says, do good to those who hurt you, those who offend you. Do good. What does that mean? Do something. Do some good thing to your enemy. St. Paul says this is like heaping coals on their head. It's heaping God's grace. It's bringing love to replace, and they may reject it. You know, but even a person that maybe we've offended, to say that we're sorry and then to do some kind action on their behalf. Maybe somebody in the workplace that you've done something bad to, and if you've fessed up to it, wow, isn't that a powerful thing? If you can actually go up to a coworker and say, you know, I really treated you badly, and this may have actually hurt your chances for a promotion, and I am sorry. Can you imagine what that would do? Well, first of all, for you, I don't know what to do for the other person, but for you, it would set you free if you've been in a situation like that. And Lord knows our marriages need this. We need to start doing good for our spouses, doing things, good things for them, even and maybe especially when they are pouring out things that we don't particularly appreciate, things that are painful, things that feel an awful lot like rejection. It's at that time, if we do good to those who harm us or who extend bad things to us, we're allowing the grace of God not to keep the wounds away from our souls, to bring goodness into a bad situation. Lend without expecting repayment. This is another way. Oftentimes our enemies are the people who we lend money to and don't pay us back. People who we've got some sort of financial tie to, and that's messed us up. I read somewhere, I was listening to a talk, and the guy says, I hate partnerships. He says, as a business consultant, he says, I hate partnerships because partners inevitably, you know, financially are not faithful to each other. And so they, you know, cheat or whatever, and it's so hard to overcome that. So lending without expecting repayment means withdrawing our expectations just a bit, removing them. So to say that this is not just about money. You know, the money doesn't drive this. It doesn't drive us. It doesn't drive me. It doesn't drive my family. And when we're able to do that, then we're on the road to beginning to treat each other a little bit differently. Love means forgiving the enemy. Forgiveness means recognizing what has taken place. You know, this is not a whitewash. In fact, what this takes, all of these things, requires a certain integrity. It requires an inner strength. It's much easier to just react, you know, and to... when somebody offends us, they just, you know, treat them badly, you know, isolate them or whatever, talk about them behind their backs, etc., etc. What I'm talking about is the hard stuff. It's the hard stuff that means it stands up in integrity and say, what you said hurt. It means acknowledging my feelings. And doing that in trust and in love. And, you know, maybe the person will accept it and maybe they will not. But at least you're standing in truth. And the truth is this, that yes, maybe you have been hurt. And maybe you don't even know how badly you've been hurt, but you have been. And that you're not going to ignore it or just say, well, nothing happened. But, you know, this is an issue. And that the third thing is that I'm not going to let this stop us. You see, whenever we bring these things up, it means there's enough trust there to say, look, this doesn't have to blow us out of the water. We can still be faithful. We can still be good to each other. We can still overcome this. And as many couples know, that whenever we've gone through an encounter like this and made peace with it, maybe not a perfect peace. Again, sometimes it takes time. But we don't let that bitterness reside in our heart. Then it doesn't poison the relationship long term. And that's, I think, really what Christ is calling us to. You see, because if indeed the other is beautiful, then, and they are in the image of God, and if their behavior doesn't manifest in a particular moment the image of God at all, the key is that we have to keep ourselves from falling into the same trap. And we have to treat them with the dignity and that God has bestowed upon them as his children. Even the lowliest, even the most sinful, Christ came into the world to die for all of us. And this is the dignity that he bestowed upon us at creation and that he affirmed for us on the cross. And so this then becomes the starting point and why forgiveness and the example of Christ himself and that stellar example of Saint Stephen in imitation of Christ, Father, forgive them. Do not hold this against them. Powerful thing. Do not hold it against them. When isn't that exactly what we want to do? We want to hold it against them till the day we die. Isn't that what we do with true enemies? You see, the thing that will set us free is when we release that desire in our hearts and say, I don't want this anymore. Lord, save me from this. You see, I don't know about you, but I've got things in my life, experience in my heart, where I've experienced these kinds of things. And I have to work with this. And it's not easy. This loving the enemy is not easy. And sometimes we have to go again and again. And sometimes we continue to get offended. And so what do? We turn the other cheek, as it says a little bit earlier in this passage. In all of these ways, then, brothers and sisters, we are invited to a love. The Christian is the one who loves. Loves those who are in the inner circle and the broader circle. But then also learns at some way to love the enemy. And ironically, if we can learn to love our enemy, all love is possible. All things are possible for us at that point. There's nothing in this world that can hold us back if we learn to love in this way. And so this is our life work. May God give us the grace and the wisdom and the understanding of our own hearts, so that we can navigate and walk this narrow path and come to the knowledge of true love, his divine love, which he bestows upon the good and the not so good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.